Welcome to the CEN Show, a platform where we learn from the world community. Tonight's show, we're gonna deal with a community action piece. So let me introduce the panel, then I introduce our guest this evening. We have Professor Amara, our master teacher here on the platform. We have Brother Mashinda out of Louisiana. And those are regular people that come. So I want to introduce to everybody Benny Tenson. He's a part of LARCA, and he's going to tell us why he came this evening and tell us what he wants us to do in order to help the situation at hand. Okay, Brother Benny.
Good evening, everyone. Benny Tenson, Executive Director, Licensed Adult Residential Care Association, Los Angeles County. I'm here tonight to speak on behalf of the 235 state licensed adult residential facilities and residential care facilities that provide housing and care for low-income residents in our community who are living with serious mental illness. I'm coming to you tonight because we are facing a crisis in our county as we have received a report from the Department of Social Services. They just released their quarterly closure report, and we were notified that 27 facilities that currently house and care for individuals who are low income and living with serious mental illness have closed in the first quarter of 2023. These are individuals that we normally see sleeping on the pavement. They are sleeping under the bus depot. They are walking on the street talking to themselves. Well, these individuals are at risk of being homeless. They are currently housed, but because of the rapid closures of these facilities, they are now facing homelessness. These individuals, they receive 24 hours a day, 7 days a week care in the adult residential facilities. These facilities help to take care of these residents' basic needs. These are individuals that cannot live on their own. And so, although we applaud the effort of Mayor Bass and other elected officials around the region who are moving swiftly to create housing, particularly converting motels into housing and doing whatever is necessary to create more housing, these are individuals that cannot live on their own. These are individuals that cannot live in a hotel or a converted motel room. They must be in a facility where they have 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, supervision and care. These individuals deserve to receive the care that they need. Now, I want to bring to your attention that one of the reasons why these facilities are closing is how we in this state treat people with serious mental illness. If your doctor diagnoses you with a developmental disability, well, the state has enacted an elaborate scheme and has provided millions of dollars of funding to make sure that those individuals receive the care that they need. But if your doctor diagnoses you with a mental illness, and I'm talking about schizophrenia, depression, the state gives you a minimum of $44 a day to live on. Nobody in Los Angeles County can live on $44 a day. So the way it works is this way. The resident receives a check, an SSI check from the state. They receive approximately $44 a day. Comes out to be about $1,300 a month. The resident then turns their SSI check over to the facility that provides the care and the housing that they need. these facilities are working with very little resources because the residents, again, only receive $44 a day. It's very difficult to feed individuals, to house them, and provide staff. You must have staff to supervise these individuals 24 hours a day. And so these facilities are closing simply because they don't have enough money. And when we look at the average cost of housing in our county, we know that to rent a motel room, not a nice one, we're talking about a sleazy motel room, is over $125 a night. A night in jail is over $190 a night. But if you are diagnosed with a mental illness, you're only going to receive the minimum from the state, which is $44 a day. That doesn't cover your housing. That doesn't cover your care. That doesn't cover the food that you need. And so these individuals, they are mandated by state to receive $168 of the money that they receive for their incidentals. So obviously there needs to be an increase in the amount that these residents receive. And so what we're calling on the governor and the legislature to do is to provide emergency relief funding to prevent.
You went on, Benny, you're on mute.
Benny, you're on mute. Benny.
There
you are. On mute?
Oh, yeah, you were on mute. Now you're good.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, but you're on mute for about 2 minutes.
Uh-oh, can you
about
hear me?
About a minute, at least.
Okay, I couldn't hear you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you were on mute for about a minute.
Okay, so what we're asking the state legislature and the governor to do is to provide emergency relief funding to prevent the closure of additional facilities. We're asking for an amount in the sum of $16 million that is needed here in Los Angeles County that would prevent any further closures and prevent these individuals who are currently housed from becoming homeless. We're also asking the governor and the legislature to treat those who are living with serious mental illness fairly and justly and equitably, just as we provide for those individuals with developmental disabilities. And so we're asking for parity, that there is a tiered rate structure and that the state moves forward in asking the federal government to sign what is called the 1119C waiver, which would put us on parity with those in the developmental disability community. And so this is a matter of how we are treated, those of us who are living with mental illness versus a developmental disability in the state. And so mental health care is health care. And so we must provide for the funding, for the housing and the care of these individuals. Now, LARCA, our 235 members, along with our community supporters, and we are very grateful for the support that we have received from the Hilton Foundation, as well as Cedars-Sinai, and all of our other supporters, BizFed, community supporters that are supporting us. We are all coming together on May 25th at 6:30. We will be launching a petition. It will be an online petition that we would like for you to sign and also help us to circulate. In addition, we hope that you will be one of our community partners, if you so wish, to join us, as we will be doing a round of lobby visits with our elected officials to get their support and to get support from the governor. And then in August, we hope that you would also join us at the NAMI California Conference, August 23rd through the 25th in Sacramento. All of our partners from around the state will be coming together there on the state capitol, but we plan to continue We are asking for the immediate relief now. We can't wait because we are seeing facilities close and others that are saying that they will close if there are no funds allocated for emergency relief by the state. So that's how you can help us. That's a summary of what we're facing. But I know that we can overcome this if we're all working together. And so we are working quickly to assemble a robust group that includes our faith-based leaders, as well as our community supporters and business supporters as well, as we move forward for equitable treatment and to prevent the closure of more adult residential facilities. I'll stop there, see if you have any questions.
Okay. Well, thanks for that information. And Professor Ra, any questions, comments?
We appreciate what's been said, if I understand correctly. First of all, I want to commend you on the work that you're doing. And I know it's very challenging when you're dealing with those that need services in the mental perspective. I just have a couple questions. You say you're trying to get $16
million? Yeah, we're asking for $16 million. That $16 million would be an immediate stimulus relief for these facilities that are at risk of closure.
How many facilities have closed and how many facilities that you still have open?
Within Los Angeles County, there's just at 3,000 facilities that specifically care for the seriously mentally ill. This is a very unique population. Okay, there's only about 3,000 facilities, and we're losing anywhere, I think in the last 5 years, we've been losing anywhere between 20 to 50 facilities per quarter.
So out of that 3,000.
That's what's left.
That's what's left. So you had more than 3,000.
Yes, at one point there were over 8,000.
And how are they getting funded, just as a nonprofit or what?
No, they are funded through SSI. So the check that the resident receives.
Yeah, okay. So they're private.
They're private, yes.
They're private, okay. And so they get the resident's check, and then they're to provide food and other care. Now,
yes.
The organization, are these facilities all a part of one network, or are they all individually independent?
They're all individual and independent. We have currently 235 state licensed facilities that we represent within LARCA. LARCA was started by LA County Department of Mental Health.
What's the right word for the total word? LA County, LA, and you got R.
Licensed Adult Residential Care Association.
Licensed Adult. And y'all are independent nonprofit agency that's helping them?
Correct. We represent these facilities. Our board is represented of adult residential facility owners and operators. So we have 11 board members. 9 of them are actual owner operators of these facilities. They're all state licensed. We also have on our board the executive director of the National Alliance on Mental Illness of Greater Los Angeles, and also Barbara Wilson, who is a longtime advocate and social worker for the seriously mentally ill.
Now, in LARCA, do LARCA operate the houses, or do LARCA just represent them?
We represent the owners.
Okay, and now, and how do y'all get funded?
We're funded through the Los Angeles County Department of Mental Health, as well as we're a nonprofit organization, and so we also have supporters, the Hilton Foundation, Cedars-Sinai. We have other grants that we receive.
Now, those facilities that help give you grants, do they refer people to you?
Yes, we are, you know, accepting referrals. If you know anyone who is in need of housing, please contact me, 323-536-4801. If you know of someone who...
What's that phone number again?
323-536-4801. If you know someone who has the SSI check, we will find housing for them. It is very difficult for low-income people who receive SSI to find housing because the average monthly amount in these facilities are anywhere between $3,600 and $5,000. And so with so those who have...
These facilities are like people, houses and stuff, like those that take care of kids and placements and stuff like that. They're you know, like people that, citizens that just say, I want to be a part of this and I'll take them in.
The facilities range from 6 beds where they're residential to over 100 beds where they're more of a facility. Uh-huh. But the LARCA members specifically are those who will take people who receive SSI. See, everybody is not willing to take people who have SSI because they simply don't have enough money. They only get $1,300 a month.
And do any of these facilities meet the requirements of Section 8 for these individuals? And you're on mute again.
Section 8 voucher can't be used for these facilities.
Okay. Now, the other thing is that when you go into the governor, you want a petition, and you want to get a petition together, and you want to circulate a petition. Is that correct, Benny? Can you hear me?
Yeah, now I can.
Okay. If you're going to circulate the petition, and the purpose of the petition is to try to present it to the governor?
Correct. We are looking to gather as many signatures as we can and also do a press conference, because this is an important issue for our community.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is our people who are suffering from schizophrenia. They are often diagnosed with schizophrenia. And so we need to increase the amount of money that they're receiving so that they can get the housing and the care that they need. The other thing, though, that I would like to say is that we should also be encouraging our people to open up these facilities. But right now, it's very difficult to open up a facility to care for our loved ones because simply the money that you receive from the state is not enough. And so many of our people have tried to open up these facilities to take care of our own, but they've had to close because the residents just don't receive enough money. And so I'm hoping that if we can increase the amount, that we can also increase the number of people, that we encourage African-American people to open up these facilities so we can care for our people. We are disproportionately impacted when it comes to mental health. In jails and everywhere, we are the face of mental health.
I understand that. I just got a quick question. Does these individuals have a you said are there other agencies? You say you get grants and things of this nature, and so like when you're dealing with these individuals, what are the qualifications for people to open up a facility?
You have to go through the state community care licensing division and get a license. So you have to be licensed from the state, become a certified administrator and operator of one of these facilities.
And what is the criteria to get approved?
Over the age of 18, you cannot have a felony. That's pretty much it.
Do they go through any training in dealing with the mental illness?
They do go. You go through training, and you also have to be licensed. So part of that licensing is that you're taking a test.
A test.
And training and test.
Mm-hmm. How long is the training?
It takes about maybe 5 to 6 weeks.
Okay. All right, I'll let somebody else ask you some questions. I'll ask some more later. Go ahead.
Okay. Okay, let's go to Tori's here. Tori Bailey.
Good evening, everyone. How you guys doing?
All right.
Thanks for coming, Tori.
Were you on the BCCLA today, Tori?
Pardon me?
Did you make it to BCCLA today? We had General Assembly.
No, I was at a funeral.
It was real good. Okay, I'll tell you about it later.
Yeah, I asked Jim Booker, would she send us the transcript? Okay. So hopefully they took the transcript.
Yeah, Dr. Daniels was there. You know, it was real good. But hopefully. Go ahead. Yeah. I'll tell you about it. I'll tell you about it.
What did you say, Professor Ron?
I'll tell you about it later. You can go ahead and ask
the
question.
Okay, so.
I was going to ask Benny. I think he was asking him about some licensing or something. What he's doing. I'd be interested in that so we can help the cause.
Well, that's Benny Thompson.
Yeah. Actually, we're going to be putting on some classes where we're going to be training people to open up some of these facilities. But quite frankly, it's not, it's very difficult to do because of the funding.
Now I'll help you with what you already got going on. It sounds like you got quite a bit on your hands right there already. How many actual units are available right now, Benny?
So we have...
Can you hear me?
Yes. We have 963 beds that are open throughout the county right now.
Ooh. Wow. Well, you need to let me know what's the process to get people into those beds.
Well, if you call us, give us a call, and we will help you with placement with our members.
Do that.
Well, he's saying they got to be on SSI though.
963 beds
that are available now. Now, there are people out there who have obviously the resources. What we're talking about tonight are those people who are on SSI. These are the people who have a difficult time finding a place. If your family has the money, you can find a place ranging anywhere between $3,600 to $5,000 a month. But most of our people do not have that kind of money, and so they're depending on SSI. These families cannot care for these individuals in their home. They've tried to do it by themselves, and they can't take care of them. And so they have to find a place for these individuals to go. Oftentimes, these are the people who end up on the street because nobody wants them. And so 1,300 is just not enough to be able to provide for them. And so the facilities that do care for them are closing.
Okay. See, we lost contact with her. Hopefully she comes back. Okay, Brother Mashinda.
Yeah, good evening.
Okay, I had to move.
Here, hold on to that.
Very alarming and interesting, but I'm just taking it in right now.
Okay. Okay, Brother Hembrick.
Well, the sister came back, but you let her finish up.
See if she. Okay. Hey, Tori. Did you have any other questions?
Nothing I can think of right now. I guess I have to call Benny and see what the details are so we can help our community get into some of those beds.
Okay.
We all help each other make it happen. Take one council district at a time. Hi.
Okay.
I'm over here at Bethel. There's feeding the women today. The men are feeding the women. So they're getting it together. So that's what you hear in the background. I keep trying to move.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna move on to see if Brother Joe have a question or a comment. Then I go to Sister making it happen.
Right. Hey, brother, appreciate your work this morning. I got a couple of questions. I'm not straight on how these doctors classify folks that can be available for SSI, and what was the other type of funding depending on how the doctor classifies the patient?
Yeah, the funding is much different if you are diagnosed with a developmental disability. So if you also have an intellectual disability like Asperger's syndrome or something of that nature, or you have some type of mental retardation, you would fall under what is called the regional center. And if you're diagnosed with one of those developmental or intellectual disabilities, then you fall under a tiered rate structure in terms of how you are paid. And so it ranges, it has several, tiers to the payment rate schedule. But those individuals with developmental disabilities and intellectual disabilities, their pay rate averages anywhere between $300 a day to $500 a day. Most of our people who are diagnosed with a mental illness are diagnosed with schizophrenia. Schizophrenia, well, the state only is going to give you the $44 a day. There is no tiered rate structure to provide the funding for you that you need based on the care that is needed.
All right, appreciate your answer on that. My other question is, I remember it must have been back in the early 80s, late 70s. They used to have large facilities and they just started shutting them down, like Camarillo and places like that. Like, what happened and how was that structure funding wise compared to what's going on right now?
Very good question. So, the large facilities that cared for this population have actually been closing since the 1960s, early 1970s, first under President Reagan, I'm sorry, Governor Reagan, at the time. And so we saw even Metropolitan State Hospital. And so our state moved away from these larger facilities and they adopted this idea of community care. And so the adult residential facilities and residential care facilities for the elderly were supposed to allow these individuals to remain in the community and have what somewhat of a normal life. And so that's the reason why you saw a lot of those facilities closing, and then you saw these facilities open. So the state has been saving money for the last 40, 50 years, And so it's to the point now where these facilities just can't continue to make it on, such a low rate. But that's basically what happened. We went away from the larger facilities to what is called the community-based model, with these adult residential facilities and residential care facilities that are in the community.
Okay. A couple of more comments. Actually, this is very interesting to me because my daughter's in medical school and she wants to be a psychiatrist. So she's going to be dealing with all of this. Last question. These faith partners, the religious sects, we got on every corner and this and that, and when it comes to something like the book claims they ought to be doing, it seems to never gel together. Follow what I'm saying? Because the man they're following said, if the man needs a cloak, you need to give him his coat too. Give me a coat too. But we never see them really jump in like the book describes they should. But how much input, are you getting from them, and what are they actually doing to help with these problems?
Yeah, I have a meeting with faith leaders here in Los Angeles County in about 2 weeks, but it's important that we get everyone in the community support, because this impacts our people. And that's what we are wanting to make sure that we bring to the forefront, black and brown, because that is the makeup of our membership. And that is also the makeup of the people who are most impacted with these low SSI rates. And so, I'm hoping that out of this, if we're able to increase the funding and the benefits for those who are living with serious mental illness, that we can, as a community, start to open up facilities. And I want to encourage faith-based organizations, churches, mosques, to open up these facilities and bring our people home. Because a lot of times, what happens is our people get stuck in these institutions that are severely mentally ill. And I believe that they would do better if they were with their community, within their community, and receiving, treatment and care. And so I'm hoping that we can increase the number of people who will open up these facilities, but it's very difficult to open it up because I would like to do it myself, but it's just it's difficult to do it with just $1,300 a month, especially if you have 6 beds or less. You're trying to pay a mortgage of anywhere between $3,500 to $4,000 a month and pay a staff. There's no money left over to feed the people or even to feed yourself.
All right, appreciate you, brother. Going to the next question here.
All right, thanks. Sister making it happen.
Greetings, everyone. Hotep family. Sitting here with my husband. We're just listening. We got on a little late, so we didn't hear the full presentation. But as an individual, my husband has been working to open up an adult care facility. So I thought it would be really important for him to engage and hear some of what you guys were talking about. But as an educator, one of the things that I find is that when it comes to, community care and local control, our biggest issue is we have to make sure that our community is just suffering so much in terms of structurally to be able to take care on a grand scale. We're just struggling so much as individuals. It's difficult to even be able to support on a community scale. I think about being in the schools when we have this local control and you have these various communities that come together to set goals and objectives for their students to get funding. Our table is always empty. We can't even get our families to the table. So I can only imagine at that level, the community care level, how much more difficult it would be. And so what is in place for people who want to, who have the heart, who have the drive, and they want to be part of community care? What is in place to support them in opening up their facilities and putting, you know, the structures in place?
Well, that's what we're actually trying to do. What we want to do is to open up opportunities for people to open up an ARF, adult residential facility, or a residential care facility for the elderly that specifically takes care of those who are low income and living with serious mental illness. So we're focused on those people who are often forgotten, the people that people don't want to sit next to or talk to, that stink. Those are the people we're talking about with serious mental illness. And so one of the ways that I think everyone could help is increasing the funding and advocating with us so that the state and the federal government will provide the resources so that it makes it, you know, that you're able to open up one of these facilities. The challenge is the funding, but I believe that our community would benefit, and our loved ones who are seriously mentally ill and living with a mental illness will benefit if our people would open up these facilities. And so that is what I'm trying to do with the advocacy work, and that's what our members are all about.
Thank you. And like I said, I'm really interested in knowing how to support those who are seeking to open up the adult care facility, you know, with the application process, with the training, all the steps that they have to take to make sure they pass the inspections and pass what they need to pass to be able to have the facilities available.
Contact us, because myself and the other LARCA staff, we will walk you through the process through Community Care Licensing Division. We're also putting on a number of classes later this summer and into the fall where you can take classes with us and go through the course. It's an 8-hour course where we will walk you through the steps on how to open up an adult residential facility.
Thank you.
Okay, Professor Amirah, did you have any more questions?
Yeah, just a couple. What is the average facility pop for these young people? I mean, how many in a home? What is the average for those facilities? How many people they take in?
You went on mute just a little bit. I didn't hear all of it. What is the average? You're still on mute. I don't hear you.
You can't hear me? Can you hear me now, Benny?
Okay, now I hear you.
But I was asking, what is the average population facility per facility?
I mean, okay, it averages six to over 100.
In one facility?
The number of people in the facility ranges anywhere between 6 people in a facility to over 100.
Oh, was that right? In one facility?
In one facility, yes.
So, and then if you got 100 times, and then on Social Security, are some of these people classified as total disabled?
Yes, if they're seriously mentally ill, they're disabled.
And so they get more than $1,300.
They only get $1,300.
You should,
because they have a serious mental illness. They're
so they're not on disability Social Security.
Just
none of them
SSI.
Qualified for, they just qualify for straight Social Security
for $44 a day.
And some of these people probably never put into Social Security.
Most of them have not. They have not worked.
That's why they only get the $1,300. Okay. And then second, and when you say train, you know, I mean, it's difficult taking care of those people. Mm-hmm. And when you say staff, are you required to have X amount of staff in the facility?
Yes. Yeah. So if you have 6 or less, you can do it with one additional staff. Over 6 individuals, you're going to need at least 2 to 3 staff.
And if you have 100?
If you have 100, you're going to need at least 2 to 3 staff per 6 residents. Mm. Anything over 6.
And what are the qualifications for staff?
18 years old, no.
Minimum wage?
There's really no requirements. I mean, it's minimal requirements.
Minimum wage too, right?
Minimum wage.
Okay. Now, what about who takes them to the doctor? How do they get their treatment? Who take them to the doctor? And the facility is responsible for that?
The facility is responsible for taking them to the doctor. Whatever appointments they have, they feed them, they clothe them, they bathe them. If they need help bathing, they take care of 100% of their needs.
Are all of them required to be vaccinated? And if like when COVID was going around, would they all have to, even if they didn't want it?
They were, most of them were vaccinated, but they could have, you know, they could choose not to be vaccinated.
Okay,
is my understanding.
And so you have to administer their meds also.
Yes. So the facility is responsible for storing.
I can't hear you. Okay. Ben, you're on mute. You're on mute again, brother. You're on mute. You're on mute.
I think you're on mute again.
Now you're only in LA County, right?
Currently, we're just in Los Angeles County.
Well, what about Riverside and San Diego and all that? Do you network with anybody?
We do, and we're starting to branch out into the other counties. So yeah. We were started by LA County. But we have the ability now to go beyond just LA County.
And finding facilities.
Yes, and we want to expand the number of facilities and grow the number of facilities that will take care of low-income people with serious mental illness.
Now, these are people that can't take care of themselves.
Correct. Right? And to put a face on it, you see them every day. They're sleeping under the bus depot, or they're walking down the street talking to themselves.
Yeah.
These are mostly people you see who are homeless.
Yeah. And there's a lot of people that. You don't ever think the state gonna ever open up these facilities themselves, huh?
No, because they've gone away from that model. And quite frankly, it's too expensive for the state. And they've been saving so much money by going to this community-based model. But what we have to do now is make sure that these people get the funding, you know, that they need.
So is the state kicking in any money, or is it just all Social Security?
Well, Social Security... plus the state, you know, matches the Social Security that the federal government provides. The money that the state has been allocating has been primarily for housing units. And so we're trying to get the attention of the governor and the state legislature. You've got to put people before property. And so we are talking about people who are currently housed. If we don't do something, they are going to be homeless. Everybody is talking about getting people off the street. Okay, but we're talking about people who are currently housed who are going to become homeless if the state doesn't do anything about it.
And so what you're saying is that the state don't give you no money to help the staff and the housing and the people running the facility.
No, whatever the state is looking at and all the elected officials, they want to be able to say a number of people that they have helped move into housing. That's what everybody's focus is on. Okay, we're talking about people who are currently housed, and these facilities have been closing over the last 10, 15, 20 years. We've been seeing these, you know, amounts of closure, and now it's getting worse when we see 27 in one quarter.
Okay, that's it, Roger P.
All right, so is there anything else you want to leave us with before you go?
I would just say that, you know, mental health care is health care, and mental health impacts our community more than any other community. And so we have to come together. And I believe this is the time that we need to come together to take care of our own people. And so I want to encourage us to advocate for increasing the funding for this population, but also encourage those who are listening to me to also inquire about how to open up one of these facilities and take in our loved ones off the street and provide care and housing for them. They deserve to receive the care and housing that everyone else deserves.
And so you think increasing funding will make more people do it?
Absolutely. I have people who are waiting. I have people who have property on Crenshaw Boulevard who would love to put people in these places, but they cannot do it without the money. Okay, the state needs to open up the coffers and bring the money to where it belongs to the people. What Governor Newsom has done, and I support, you know, our legislators for what they are doing, but their focus has been on property and building more apartments and units, and a lot of that money is going to the developers. It's not going to the people who are needing it the most. This is the most vulnerable population we're talking about in the state. They can't speak for themselves. And so that's why we and other people are speaking for them. These are our people.
Yeah, brother. Getting back to the classification of, you said developmental disabled versus now, seems like schizophrenia and the stuff where most of the black people are more severe than Asperger's and stuff like that, and the ones with Asperger's getting the most money.
That's it. That's it. All right. People with Asperger's syndrome are getting more money than the people with SMI. And the doctors are diagnosing our people with schizophrenia. We are disproportionately being diagnosed with schizophrenia. And that only gives our people $44 a day. They cannot live on that. Most of these individuals also smoke cigarettes. I'm going to be real with you. They smoke cigarettes. And so this money that the state has allocated, once the facility is paid, these individuals only have $168 to themselves per month for incidentals. Now, that's not enough for any human to live on per month. And so they need, you know, an increase as well, because if you want to get a haircut or get a pair of pants or go out and have a nice dinner, because these facilities also take these individuals out to the movies. At least they try once a month or once every other month so they can have somewhat of a normal life. But $168 don't go anywhere for incidentals. Okay. Once you buy your cigarettes, you don't have no money left over.
Okay, so... What other diseases, a situation that go along with Asperger? What other mental?
Intellectual disabilities. You have Crohn disease, Asperger's, autism.
So
those are considered intellectual disabilities.
Most of them are.
Most white individuals are diagnosed with those diseases. Our people are most likely going to be diagnosed with schizophrenia, manic depression.
All right, appreciate you, brother. Thank you.
Right. So that's very important information that you're bringing us here this evening, Mr. Tenson. We plan on not only housing the information, but signing petitions and maybe join some of the political actions that you're going to take.
Absolutely.
So I appreciate you coming, and we're going to talk more after this. Okay, so now, next week, we have Brother Quab and I coming back, and the topic's going to be John Morant and killer hip-hop music. So that's what's going on for next week. Professor Ryan?
We have Damian Goodman coming on to talk about gentrification. You know Damon, huh? Damon Goodman, and he's going to be talking about the effects of gentrification on the Black community and their struggle against it with the Downtown Crenshaw Association. So he'll be our guest Monday.
Okay, good. So, Mr. Tenson, stay on for a second. All right, everybody. Each one teach one in Conscious Corner. Everybody have a good evening.
All right.